Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lord of the White Hell, Book 2, by Jen Hale. Narrated by Jacoby Diem. Chapter 1. Kiram stared with red-rimmed eyes out at the fields lining the road to the Sagrada Academy. Only desiccated sunflower stalks and tracts of broken soil remained from the harvest. The land looked as ragged as he felt, and the dark confines of the Tournesol carriage offered him no more rest than his sumptuous bed had the night before. Despite exhaustion, hard liquor, and hours spent wandering unknown streets, sleep had eluded him, just as it evaded his restless mind now. Outside, blue jays flashed their brilliant wings from a stand of apple trees. Red leaves fell as the birds took to the air and swept past the creaking luggage carriage. Kiram shuddered at the sight of them, and the scab gash in his forearm throbbed as if pulsing with poison. A week ago, he could have found the birds a lovely distraction on such a cold fall morning. He might have delighted in their graceful flight and taken little note of how closely the flock followed the steady course of this single carriage. Now he knew their chase betrayed a malevolent intent. They flew as portents of the Shadow Curse, spies for the man who controlled it. Slumped across the seat opposite Kiram, Fidelis Kaimanor groaned and twitched, his peaceful doze turning fitful as the jays circled overhead. He gave a strained gasp and rolled his head from beneath his arm. Kiram glanced to Fidelis's face, but for an instant, he saw only Javier in those sharp, troubled features. A longing so intense that it felt like pain shot through Kiram. He rubbed his tired eyes. He couldn't afford to think of Javier. What had been between them was over. They had both destroyed it last night. This morning, Javier had hardly met his gaze and offered no response when Kiram greeted him at the breakfast table. Instead, he'd risen, abandoning his meal, wished Fidelis good day, and departed for the Sagrada Academy. Less than an hour later, the dour staff of the Tournesol townhouse had efficiently packed Kiram and Fidelis into this musty carriage as if they were just two more pieces of Javier's luggage. While Fidelis dozed, Kiram deliberately turned his gaze from the trunks and leather chests emblazoned with Javier's family crest and tried to set his mind to other subjects. But the strong physical resemblance between Javier and Fidelis roused all the thoughts Kiram had wished to forget. The stench of debauchery seemed to drift from the leather carriage seats. How could it be that those minutes he longed most to forget could burn in his memory with such painful detail? Fidelis's legs shifted, brushing briefly against Kiram's calf, and the contact offered Kiram a strange kind of comfort. Both Javier and Fidelis were long-limbed, pale-skinned young men who sported ink-black hair and handsome features. This morning, the random shadows of luggage and Kiram's own exhaustion cast a harder line to Fidelis's jaw and lent an arrogant curve to his lips. The bulk of his new velvet coat offered the illusion of Javier's angular musculature to Fidelis's thinner frame. The two of them could easily have passed for brothers, even twins. It was no wonder that some gossips whispered of scandalous relations between their parents. But Kiram knew Fidelis deserved better from him than to be seen as some proxy for his cousin, so he shifted his leg away. Suddenly, Fidelis jerked upright. With consciousness, much of his likeness to Javier fled. His dark eyes flashed wide as his mouth twitched between grimaces and grins. He caught Kiram's hand in his long fingers, and Kiram couldn't help but note the power of his grip, nearly as crushing as Javier's had been last night.
"They want to kill him, Kiri," Fidelis whispered. "The birds?"
He cut himself short as a jay dived past the carriage window.
The color drained entirely from Fidelis's face, leaving his mouth pale as chalk. "I won't let them harm you, Fidelis," Kiram assured him. Fidelis shook his head as a violent shudder passed through his body. A wild, manic grin jerked across his lips, but his eyes remained wide and terrified. "Look here, Fidelis." Kiram lifted his lotus medallion from beneath the collar of his shirt and held it out. Even in the dim light of the closed carriage, the gold surface glowed. Sacred Bahim symbols gleamed as if throwing off their own light. Kiram hoped that, if nothing else, the medallion might distract Fidelis from his own fear. Fidelis stared at the medallion like a fascinated crow. "My uncle's partner is a Bahim, a Haldim holy man. He gave this to me. The lotus is a sign of powerful protection among my people, you know. According to Alizada, this medallion was more than that. It served as Alizada's spyglass, offering him the chance to detect the inner workings of the Shadow Curse, and perhaps even to identify the man who controlled it." As Kiram held the medallion up now, he hoped that it would catch some hint of the dark magic that directed the Jays in their pursuit of Fidelis. The medallion swung on its chain as the carriage bounced over rough cobblestones. Light glinted off its polished surface. Then, without warning or seeming reason, the Jays suddenly broke off from their chase. With a few harsh calls, they fled into the thick woods that encircled the Sagrada Academy. As he watched them go, Fidelis's expression lit with joy, and he threw his arms around Kiram, crushing the air from him in his fierce embrace. Then Fidelis released him to press his face against the window and glare in the direction that the Jays had fled.
"Stay away, stay away, stay away,"
Fidelis whispered, as if reciting a holy chant. Then he dropped back into his seat.
"Good riddance."
Kiram, too, felt better with the birds out of sight. He wondered if perhaps now he might steal a few moments of sleep. But when he closed his eyes, his thoughts churned with a sour memory of writhing whores and Javier's proud glower. Kiram straightened up, awake again. Across from him, Fidelis hummed a bright tune. Now and then he moved his legs and tapped his toes against the floor of the carriage, keeping perfect time. After a few minutes, he patted Kiram's knee.
"Dancing, Kiri,"
Fidelis informed him. Kiram smiled. He didn't know why, but out of everyone at the Sagrada Academy, only Fidelis seemed to know the Haldim diminutive of his name.
"We'll dance a Quaresa,"
Fidelis continued, sweeping his feet in graceful motions across the carriage floor.
"Left foot out and back, out and kick."
Fidelis demonstrated, and then looked expectantly at Kiram's motionless feet. Though Kiram realized what Fidelis wanted, he still felt a moment of resistance. The bitterness of last night clung to him, but Fidelis was the last person he could blame for any of his troubles with Javier, so Kiram emulated the motions while Fidelis beamed with approval.
"Now right foot."
Fidelis again demonstrated the dance step, and Kiram copied him. Laughing and grinning, Fidelis led him through the footwork of an entire Quaresa. Last night, Kiram had been so hurt and repulsed that he'd imagined he would never again find anything Catalonian charming. But this morning, his sense of adventure seemed to have returned. And in his own way, Fidelis was wonderful company, because for all his madness, he accepted Kiram without judgment, and right now Kiram appreciated that more than anything.
"Again, again,"
Fidelis crowed. Kiram obliged, mirroring Fidelis's steps and kicks from his own seat. Leather trunks creaked, and the carriage bounced beneath their weight. More than once, Kiram misstepped, knocking knees and ankles with Fidelis, but Fidelis laughed it off. Kiram quickly improved. By the fourth time,
Their steps were almost perfectly synchronized. Fidelis sang out the names of his favorite horses, calling often for Kiram's black gelding, Farage. Then he delightedly crowed for Javier's white stallion, Lunaluz. Out of the corner of his eye, Kiram thought he did catch a flash of white through the dense forest lining the road. Reflexively, he looked and then felt the drop of disappointment as he discovered only a stand of white-barked birches growing among the dark woods. The carriage rattled around another bend, and the vast fortress of the Sagrada Academy loomed ahead of them. The heavy stonework of the main building dominated the grounds, rising 3 stories and thrusting its 2 watchtowers even higher. Kiram took in the whitewashed expanses of stables and sparring house without regard, but scowled at the cerulean roof and gold steeple of the chapel. Alizada and Rafi had only referred to the man controlling the Shadow Curse as the Man on the Hill, but it seemed obvious that if anyone at the Sagrada Academy would gladly plot murder and torture at the behest of the royal bishop, it would be Holy Father Habalan. Then Kiram wondered just how many jays sheltered among the gnarled oaks and fruit trees on the chapel grounds. 2 of the birds perched in the branches of a tall pear tree. As the carriage rattled past, Kiram was certain that the birds returned his gaze with calculating stares. Suddenly, Kiram remembered the merciless way that the flocks of blue jays had attacked and ravaged Nakisha's sisters. Not even their own deaths had deterred the jays' assault. Kiram looked away from the chapel and caught sight of familiar faces among the students gathered at the stables. A sense of something like safety returned to him. Fidelis leaned back into his seat and closed his eyes. When the carriage drew to a halt, both Kiram and Fidelis bounded out to greet the waiting Grunido brothers. Nestor welcomed them with a toothy smile, while Eleazar simply used his massive frame to deflect other giddy students from crashing into their friendly exchange. Kiram noted the brighter color of Ganimo's auburn hair as he ducked past Eleazar. Kiram and he exchanged cool, indifferent gazes, but said nothing to each other as Ganimo sauntered to Fidelis' side. Kiram searched the throng of Catalonian students, grooms, and house servants. They surrounded him in a sea of straight brown hair, dark eyes, and light freckled skin. Their builds ranged from short, brawny grooms to the mountain of muscle that was Eleazar Grunito, all of them quite the opposite of Kiram's slim Haldim build, light eyes, dark skin, and curling blonde hair. Javier was not among them. His absence made Kiram anxious and uncertain of what to expect when he did arrive.
"Are we the last of the Hellions?"
Kiram had to raise his voice to be heard over all the surrounding shouts and greetings.
"Most of the rest have gone up to the dormitories," Nestor replied, and then he yawned widely.
Kiram wasn't sure if it was just the hard morning light, but Nestor looked nearly as tired as Kiram felt. His plump pink cheeks seemed hollow, and his small gold spectacles couldn't quite hide the shadows beneath his eyes. Nestor had encountered his own romantic troubles last night, Kiram thought, but he didn't want to ask about them in front of everyone. Housemen in gray livery slipped past Kiram and Fidelis, hauling away the luggage. Grooms saw to the horses and carriage. One of the whip-thin Helio twins alighted from a different carriage, and his friends greeted him, asking about his brother in hushed voices. Kiram peered past them, still searching.
"Javier's at chapel," Eleazar informed him. "How any man can stand to attend morning and afternoon service is beyond me."
"I thought he might be," Kiram replied. All at once, he didn't know what more to say. He'd seen too much of his fellow Hellion's passions last night. Now he couldn't quite meet Helizar's hawkish gaze.
"I should see Fidelis to the infirmary."
Ganimo stepped past Kiram, leading Fidelis by the hand as if he were a child. Fidelis smiled, but Kiram could see him pulling away from Ganimo's grip.
"Fidelis can stay with me," Kiram offered.
A pained expression flickered across Ganimo's narrow features.
"He needs to see Scholar Donamillo for his treatment, but I'd be happy to turn him over to you afterward."
Ganimo didn't meet Kiram's eyes, but instead stole a quick glance to a small scar on Kiram's cheek.
"Unless Javier objects."
"Why on earth would he?"
Kiram responded, though it occurred to him that Javier could refuse just to spite him. Javier could be cruel when angered, and as far as Kiram could tell, right now he was furious. Still, Kiram doubted that Javier would be so petty as to use Fidelis like some pawn. Kiram felt briefly frustrated with himself for being too attached to Javier to think poorly of him even after last night. It would have been much simpler if he could dislike Javier, or, failing that, just forget about him.
"If the two of you are going to stand around wondering why Javier does anything he does, Fidelis is never going to get to his treatment," Eleazar commented.
Ganimo scowled at Eleazar, then turned his attention back to Fidelis.
"Come, Fidelis."
Ganimo pulled Fidelis along, while Fidelis stumbled and dragged his feet behind him. There was nothing Kiram could do for him, and he knew Scholar Donamillo's treatments were the best hope Fidelis had for survival until someone could find a way to break the curse. Still, Kiram wished that Fidelis didn't dread them so much.
"We'd best clear out from in front of the stables as well,"
Nestor said as another carriage rolled up. The three of them took a wandering path towards the main building. Dry golden blades of autumn grass crunched beneath their shoes as they crossed the lawn, and Kiram noted that dark rose hips now dotted the potted roses. Many of the apple trees sported bare branches, while a litter of yellow leaves lay across the ground. Despite the bright sunlight, a chill hung in the air and filled the deep shadows of the main building.
"Summer seems over all at once," Kiram commented.
"True, but there's plenty of ripe apples now."
Nestor's broad smile brightened his face, despite the dark circles beneath his brown eyes.
"And with the autumn tournament over, you and I won't be spending every waking hour in battle practice."
That would be a relief, Kiram decided. Nestor seemed surprisingly cheerful given the trouble he'd been in the previous night. Riasa's lonely, hapless arrival at the Granito house must have worked.
"Well?"
Kiram glanced to Nestor.
"Aren't you going to tell me what happened after I left your mother's party?"
"The dolt got himself engaged," Eleazar said in disgust.
At this, Nestor smiled quite proudly.
"There wasn't anything else to do. I couldn't let Riasa just take a fall. Not that she wasn't willing to. She would..."
"She duped you. That's what she did,"
Eleazar interrupted. Nestor scowled at him.
"You weren't there, and you have no idea what went on."
Kiram thought this was the first time he'd ever seen Nestor take a stand against his older brother. Eleazar didn't seem to appreciate his little brother's newfound sense of independence.
"All I need to know is that you're a fool. That girl fucked you over."
Eleazar stopped suddenly, catching sight of a figure far across the lawn. Kiram followed his gaze and realized that they were both watching Javier's broad back and long legs as he strode from the chapel towards the stables.
"I'm going to check up on Javier," Eleazar announced.
"Either of you coming?" "Maybe later."
Kiram hoped the response sounded casual.
"Later,"
Nestor agreed. Eleazar shrugged as if he couldn't account for their tastes, and then hurried after his friend.
"Thank God," Nestor said as soon as Eleazar was out of earshot. "He's been badgering me all day."
"Well, it is surprising that you're engaged. You've only known Riasa a week."
"Honestly, Kiram, there wasn't anything else I could have done, and it wasn't like Eleazar makes it sound. Riasa didn't come in alone to the Granito house to cause a scandal. She'd been by herself outside the townhouse for nearly 2 hours, waiting for her sister to join her. She only came inside to try and have a carriage summoned so that she could return to her father's house. But the footman saw her invitation and escorted her into the ballroom.
Kiram frowned at this. It was almost certain that Catalonian girls from good families were not supposed to be left alone for hours on end.
So, why did the sister leave Riasa waiting?
Nestor lowered his voice. Because she was having an affair with the carriage driver, apparently, and picked last night to run off with him. She told her husband that she was taking Riasa to the celebration so he wouldn't wonder why she was gone. Then she told Riasa that she'd forgotten something and left Riasa outside the townhouse while she took the family carriage and fled.
Sounds like a rotten sister.
Yes, and it wasn't as if anyone knew what had happened right away either. At first, my mother was thinking the sister intentionally left Riasa so that Riasa could get her claws in me.
Nestor rolled his eyes. As if she would need to do something like that. She's beautiful and funny and smart.
And a good kisser, Kiram added, if my source is to be trusted.
Yeah, she's that too,
Nestor grinned.
So if your mother thought this was all a trick, how did you end up engaged?
Riasa's father is an ass. He half lost his mind when he found out about Riasa's sister. He started screaming at Riasa for allowing her sister to ruin their family name, right in front of everyone. And then he told Riasa that he was sending her to the Inanicia convent, and when she said she wouldn't go, he struck her.
Just recounting the event, Nestor flushed with anger.
He knocked her to the floor right in front of me. What was I supposed to do?
Kiram wondered what he would have done in such a situation. Certainly not get engaged to the girl. He kept his thoughts to himself. Nestor continued heatedly.
I told him that if he ever laid a hand on her again, that I'd hit him so hard he'd be talking out his crapper.
Did you really say crapper?
I know I should have said asshole, but my mom was right there, Nestor explained sheepishly. Then I proposed. I guess marrying me sounded a lot better than being sent to a convent.
So there'll be a wedding?
Kiram could not have imagined Nestor's engagement would be so dramatic. Perhaps having a black-haired, romantic adventurer like Atreyu for an upperclassman had affected Nestor more than Kiram had realized.
Not until spring. But in the meantime, my mom's taken Riasa into her care. She's not happy about the marriage, but she was proud that I wouldn't let some bastard treat his daughter so badly.
Not many men would step up like that, Kiram nodded. I wouldn't have.
Well, to be honest, I should have stepped up sooner. You know, right after we first dallied. But she didn't say anything about it, so I let it alone, too.
Dallied?
Kiram didn't understand the Catalonian term at first, but then he realized what Nestor meant.
Nestor, you didn't.
How'd you think I knew so much about kissing her?
Then suddenly Nestor became serious.
You won't tell any of this to Javier or Eleazar or any of the others, will you?
No,
Kiram assured Nestor, though they'd hardly have the right to judge.
But they would, Nestor said. They'd treat Riasa like she was one of those tarts at the Goldenrod, and I couldn't stand for that.
Don't worry, Kiram assured him. I won't say a word.
As they made their way past the clusters of first-year students lounging on the steps, Nestor whispered a full confession. While he rhapsodized about slipping his hand inside Riasa's bodice and touching her breasts, Kiram realized that Nestor hadn't gotten much farther with Riasa than a few furtive gropes in a fair tent, certainly not far enough to make marriage a necessity. Still, His face flushed and his expression grew ecstatic as he described the stolen moments. Kiram resisted comparing those brief intimacies to the ones he had shared with Javier. He said,
"You're quite taken with Riasa, aren't you?"
"Honestly, I never thought I'd meet a girl who wouldn't seem a little dull, but when I'm with her, we talk and laugh, and I don't even notice the time passing. She's not like the other girls at all. She tells great jokes, and she draws really well, and she knows law better than I do."
Kiram didn't tell Nestor that she sounded like any one of a multitude of Haldim girls he knew. He'd read enough Catalonian literature to know that such traits were not encouraged among Catalonian women. Nestor and he parted ways on the stairs, where Nestor saluted him, before disappearing into his room to attend his upperclassmen's hangover. Kiram continued climbing up to the room he and Javier shared in the East Watchtower. As he crossed the threshold, a feeling of deep sadness washed over him. Javier had obviously already been here. A discarded jacket hung on the back of his chair, and one of his dusty boots peeked from the shadows beneath his bed. Fresh incantations decorated the floor. New dark ink scrawled over faded red symbols. Kiram wondered if it would do either of them any good if he went to Javier now. But he didn't know what he would say, and Eleazar would be there in any case. And he certainly wasn't about to get down on his knees and beg, as Javier had demanded. The memory of Javier's pronouncement sent a flare of anger through the melancholy of Kiram's thoughts.
"Kivashta, Javier," Kiram swore in his native Haldim.
He had other ways to occupy his time, and other reasons, better reasons, to be at the Sagrada Academy. Kiram swung his tool bag over his shoulder and left. When he reached his shed, he was pleased to discover that the workmen had raised a section of the roof as he had requested. There would now be enough space to test his steam engine without it tearing through the ceiling supports. Autumn chill filled the dim interior of the shed. He lit his sweet oil lamp and opened the window shutters, allowing bright afternoon light to pour in. Sunlight and heavy work soon warmed him. The familiar smell of machine oil and the weight of cast iron in his hands soothed him. Steadily, he assembled his secondary steam chamber, taking careful measurements, rechecking his work and making corrections for the pieces he would need forged to create the condensation chamber. In his mind, he could see it already assembled, and he didn't suppress his satisfied grin. His situation now might be a wreck of frustration, worry, and confusion, but this mechanism would not fail him. It would work as nothing else in his life seemed to, precisely as he planned. A knock at the shed door interrupted Kiram's thoughts.
"It's unlocked."
Kiram wrote down a final measurement, then looked up to see Scholar Donamillo peering in through the doorway. Kiram offered him a welcoming smile. As Donamillo gazed intently at the half-assembled steam engine, afternoon light struck the side of his face, catching the thick streaks of gray in his dull brown hair and etching the deep wrinkles that edged his appreciative expression. Not since Kiram's father had another man gazed at Kiram's work with such an expression of delight and curiosity.
"I wanted to make sure your arm wasn't hurting you."
Scholar Donamillo didn't pull his eyes from the towering mechanism. Kiram could see him trying to guess at the purpose of unassembled pipes and valves.
"My arm only hurts when I think about it."
Kiram pulled back the sleeve of his shirt, allowing Donamillo to see the thick scab that traced his forearm.
"It looks good. I'm glad."
Scholar Donamillo's attention returned almost at once to Kiram's mechanism. Slowly, Donamillo circled the engine. He cocked his head in curiosity at the mount where the cooling chamber would rest. Kiram couldn't keep himself from explaining the entire thing to Scholar Donamillo. Months ago, when he had described his innovations to Javier, he had felt that Javier was humoring him, listening without much understanding.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?